Breaking up is hard to do, but when it comes to your wireless carrier, you should have left a while ago. You're over the big three carriers. You deserve better. Xfinity Mobile. Now you can get unlimited with 5G included for just $30 a month on the nation's fastest, most reliable network. So break free from the big three and save with Xfinity Mobile.
Take the savings challenge at xfinitymobile.com/mysavings to see how much you can save when you get Xfinity Mobile and internet together. Reduced speeds at 20 gigabytes per line. Most reliable based on Root Metrics U.S. report. Results vary, not an endorsement.
I got my daughter's hair looking tight. So we hopped in the car and went to Mickey D's to celebrate. I did my thing with these braids meal.
There's a meal for every moment on the McDonald's $1, $2, $3 menu.
Enjoy a tasty McChicken biscuit or chicken McGriddles. Get two of the same or one of each for just $3. Prices and participation may vary. Single item at regular price cannot be combined with combo meal.
Welcome to another edition of Horsefly Chronicles Radio. I wanted to open up a little bit tonight because this is the first time in ever that we're actually going to have someone on our show that communicates with pets that have crossed over. And I find that kind of impressive. And the reason I wanted to open the show tonight is because a year and a half ago, we had an unfortunate event where we had to put our dog down. The dog was on its way out. And it was the most heartbreaking thing that any pet owner has to watch. But yeah. What did happen was this. And this is why I'm excited about tonight's show. They injected the dog and they put the dog down. And we were we're very upset and in tears. And then we left. And as we leave the building and we're driving a few blocks away, this is what I seen. About a mile up in the sky to the left of me, so it'll be about a mile high and a mile out in width, I seen our dog running full speed up this, some kind of a highway, not a highway with cars, but some kind of a highway. And the dog turned and looked at me as we're driving now. And this was all through the mind's eye really quick. And the dog looked at me and looked really good and happy. And then he was gone.
Yeah. She.
So, that struck a chord with me because I know what I see, not visually, but through the mind's eye. So it's kind of like they make you see it through the mind. And then you think you're seeing it through the eye's perception. Yeah. And that validated to me, without me even knowing, and questioning, the dog made it to a better place after suffering so long in the physical world. So tonight's guest, Julie, who are we talking about?
Okay, well, first I want to say welcome everybody to Monday night's segment of the Horsefly Chronicles Radio with myself, Julia Syracusa, and Philip Syracusa. We're broadcasting live from the United Paranormal Radio Network on 107.7 FM. And 105.3 FM from New Orleans. This evening's show is sponsored by Carnation, so we want to thank them for their sponsorship. You will have to do a few things in order to participate. Go over to the YouTube channel, UFO Paranormal Radio. Get into chat, subscribe if you haven't. You can go into all the United Public Radio Facebook stations, Twitch, SoundCloud, and Podbeam. I can only respond to your comments on the YouTube channel on UFO Paranormal Radio. And if you have any questions for our guests, please ask. You can also go over to the UFO Undercover with Joe Montaldo on Facebook as well. So tonight, I want to welcome Mr. Rob Gutro to the show. Rob is an author, paranormal investigator, and a medium. He can receive messages from ghosts or spirits who have crossed over. As a scientist, he provides scientific explanations on how energy is the foundation of the paranormal. He has become known as a pet medium, but works with human ghosts and spirits too. His books teach you how to recognize signs from spirits. Tonight, we're going to talk about his third volume in a series of books, Pets in the Afterlife 3. You can find all of his amazing books on Amazon.com. So let's welcome Robin to the show.
Welcome.
Yay.
Hi. Thanks, Julie and Philip. Good to be here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is first time for us having someone like yourself on. So, you know, we always like to ask our guests, how did you get started? Like, take us back a little bit in time into being what you are today, able to communicate with pets.
Okay. I'll give you the real short story. And that is at 13 years old, my grandfather appeared to me visibly 6 or 7 months after he died. Scared the daylights out of me as a kid. I found out my mom had the ability. My grandfather had the ability. It runs in my family. In 2005, my puppy Buzz, a Weimaraner, who you can see pictured behind me here on the cover of Pets in the Afterlife 1, he was tragically killed by a car when I was walking him. And he became the world's best canine communicator. Now, I have always kept a diary. So when he started communicating with me, I wrote everything in my diary. And he influenced me to write my my first book so that I could let people know how their pets communicate with them from the other side. And they're still very much around, just like your dog.
Yes.
You know, isn't that interesting what I said? You know, I watched the dog getting put down. The dog knew what was going on.
Yeah.
He knew his that was it. And they couldn't find where to inject him. They were having a problem with that.
So bad.
But it struck that chord of, wow. I mean, the dog looked great. And that's how I described it. So what I'm describing is this highway, and he's running up, and he's up in the sky where he's still visible but looking good. To yourself, what does that mean?
That's a very very blunt sign that he wanted to let you know he is fine on the other side and appreciative because he is now free of his physical pain and his physical burdens, and he's headed to cross over.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why I believe in the work that you do, because, you know, I couldn't explain that to myself. And I'm saying to my wife, and we're all depressed. I'm like, but I just seen him.
Her. We're so used to seeing him with our dog now.
And it was so as if I'm seeing anybody through the eyes, but it was through the mind's eye. So, you know, one of the questions that we have for you is, how do you communicate through telepathy?
Yeah, so there's a number of ways that I communicate with ghosts and spirits. And telepathy is certainly one of the main ways. When it comes to pets, they actually, everything's telepathic with pets on the other side, with pets and spirit. So they will show me things that they're familiar with. They will give me names. They'll give me dates or times. They'll tell me maybe their favorite toy or their favorite treat, or they'll tell me if another dog or cat lives with them. They'll tell me all kinds of things from the other side. And they also make me feel, they make me experience the same physical pains that they experienced before they passed, in order for me to prove to the pet parent that you are really, you know, I'm really talking to your dog or cat. So I sit here at the computer and I can feel my back, my what I call my back legs. They're actually my legs. I can feel my back legs go out, or I can feel kidney failure or heart problems. I can feel cancer. I can feel breathing problems. And I start to develop these symptoms while I'm sitting here. And I just type them out. And that's how I do readings. I do email readings.
Okay, so when the pet is communicating, do you have an audio through the mind where the pet's communicating verbally through the mind?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah. Yes, I do. And they can convey words too, because, you know, as you know, as pet parents, you know that your dog understands different words that you say. Mm-hmm. They also convey emotion. They can read emotion as spirit. They can read emotion. So there's a lot of things that they can tell me. And it's really surprising. And I get emails from people around the world. I just replied to a woman in the Philippines about her cat, and she was astounded of all the things that her cat had told me. And it's not just one or two things. Sometimes it takes me a half an hour to tell all of these different signs that a pet can communicate from the other side. Wow. It's like writing a book. Yeah. When they're talking to it.
Yep. So do you get flashcards in the mind, like when some people see those that have crossed over, it's like a flash of a memory of them being here in the physical world. Do the pets show you that as well, like when you're with them, a time when you're playing with them?
Yeah, they do. They do show me little snippets. They'll also show me and describe, actually, people on the other side. So in one particular case, well, in many cases, they describe what the people look like on the other side. But one of my favorite instances is when a dog came through to me and described a grandfather on the other side, and showed me multiple images of the same man, and he wore a red checkered shirt, and all he wore in all these images were red checkered shirts. And you know, I said, okay, this is kind of crazy. So I emailed the pet parent, and I said, I believe your grandfather is crossed, and your grandfather is there with your dog, but your dog is showing me that your grandfather only wears red checkered shirts. And she wrote me back, and she said, oh my God, my grandfather had a closet full of red checkered shirts, and that's all he ever wore.
Wow.
Really?
That's
yeah.
Crazy.
So, okay.
Kind of crazy.
All right, so let's get a little technical now.
Oh, boy.
Let's get a little technical. So they were saying that pets cross over, as we know, and there, I believe in heaven. Some people believe there's a higher place, and you know, however you want to name it, we call it home when we cross over. So the question is, do the pets and people go to the same place when they cross over?
Yeah, absolutely. We all go to the same place. So what I've come to find out as a medium is that when we die, when our physical body dies, the energy within us, the blood pumping, if you think about that, if you think about thoughts as little electrical impulses of energy, those energies combine with our memories, our personality, and our knowledge from this life. And then, whether we're a pet or animal or a person, doesn't matter what we are, as any living thing, we make a conscious choice to either stay here on Earth at a fixed location of our choosing, and that's what I call a ghost, or we cross over and join the energies of the cosmos or heaven or Valhalla, whatever you want to call the other side. And I call it a spirit, because there really is a distinction between an earthbound entity and one that's crossed over. Earthbound entities, ghosts, if you will, are only limited to communicate to people in that fixed location. They can't go outside of it. It's very rare that they can. They may attach themselves to somebody, but that's not very common. But a spirit can communicate anywhere, anytime, any place in the world. Mm-hmm. So there's a big difference between an earthbound ghost and a spirit that's crossed over, in my opinion. And both of them use energy in order to get strong enough to communicate. Because they're beings of energy, they need energy to communicate. So they need physical energies and emotional energies. So heat, light, water, and electricity are physical energies that both of those entities use to get strong enough.
Yeah.
Emotional energies, ghosts use negative emotional energies like fear, anxiety, depression, and anger. Those strengthen a ghost, but love, faith, and hope strengthen a spirit.
Okay, so you believe in free will when it's your time, whether you die in an explosion or you die from natural causes, it's free will of the energy, the soul of us, whether we want to stay in the physical and then, like you say, a ghost or a cross. Am I getting that right?
Yes. So we make that choice based on our lives here. So pets, because they really, pets don't hold grudges. Pets aren't, they don't really need anything for forgiveness. they don't have other things to do here. They don't want to stay behind because they want to see how they can manipulate their money that they left behind. Pets don't have that agenda that humans do.
True.
So 99% of pets cross over. Humans, on the other hand, they have a choice.
Yeah.
Okay. And then is it your belief that once you cross over, you can come back and be at multiple places at one time? So, for example, your brother lives in Florida and your sister lives in California and your niece lives in New York. Now, we've spoken to many people who believe that we're making it up, but the dimensions are seamless where the spirit energy could be multiple places at one time. Is that correct?
Yes. And that's how people who just pass over can influence and suggest to their relatives anywhere in the world that they've just passed.
Wow.
Okay.
What are some of the physics? And, yeah. You know, I'm actually a meteorologist, so I try to explain everything with science, but that defies physics.
That's good. I like that.
Yep.
So what do they say to you? People that have crossed over and you're mediumship, what do they say what's on the other side? How do they explain that to you?
They really don't, because it's something that we can't envision. It's really all about energy. So as a scientist, you know, I know that there are many different energies that are flowing through the cosmos, cosmic rays, gamma rays, X-rays, yes, all kinds of things. And they really become part of that energy in the cosmos, if you will. And that enables them to travel anywhere, anytime, even, you know, way beyond the boundaries of Earth and the solar system and so forth. But we as humans can't visualize that. So when they come to mediums to try and help give comfort to their loved ones, what they do is they show mediums, usually a scene, a comfortable scene that we associate on Earth with peace, like a garden or a valley or a grassy area. That's just spirit trying to get us to understand that they are at peace and they're happy. But we can't conceive what it's like to be energy.
We can't conceive what it's like to be energy. You know, I study a lot of the near-death experiences from the most respectable people, doctors, people who didn't believe in the afterlife, and they've been clinically proven dead.
Sure.
And now, according to what some of them say, there's no choice of the free will. Some of them are saying that there's this tunnel. They get sucked in like a vacuum cleaner and they get pulled. Without a choice, they're getting pulled to the other side. Now, is it your belief and understanding that maybe that's for some people, or is that the general rule? And then you could decide if you want to stay there.
It's been my experience that people do not cross over if they don't want to. They choose to stay. They turn away from the light. They turn away from that tunnel. That's what having free will is. So no, I don't believe that everybody gets drawn in. It's a conscious choice. And here's something interesting I've encountered as a paranormal investigator. I found that people who are more religious tend to stay behind as earthbound ghosts, because when we die, we get kind of a recollection of our life, you know, what we did well, what we did not so well, who we loved and who we hurt. And the people that are more tend to be more religious tend to put more emphasis on the bad stuff, and they fear crossing over, so they stay behind. But the bottom line is that they have nothing to fear, because on the other side there's nothing but love and energy and peace and forgiveness. So they should not stay behind as earthbound ghosts.
I agree with that.
You know what's interesting about this? Now, look, we're paranormal investigators ourselves, and, you know, we come from a very haunted house, and I always question, you're into science and you're a meteorologist, which I like, and I always try to debunk everything. It's fake, it's this, sure. It's that. But it really took a lot for me to believe in this mm-hmm. stuff. It took a lot. And it didn't take someone's word or a piece of paranormal equipment. It took toys going off by themselves with no batteries in it and say, well, it's impossible. So now there is communication here with something from beyond. And what we learned is it's intelligent, extremely intelligent. So the question is going to come out that when we talk about a haunting, mm-hmm. is it possible in your belief and understanding that maybe, just maybe, there can be malevolent spirits that affect animals?
That was my question. Yes.
Sure. So that's why it's not really the best idea to take animals on paranormal investigations unless you have a good idea about what's going on there. I only took our dog, our Weimaraner, Dolly, on one paranormal investigation because we were actually investigating whether or not the spirit of a dog was actually visiting. And she actually confirmed that by mimicking the exact path that the dog used to take when the dog was alive. And she went up to the same room when I let her go. She went up to the same bedroom and sat in that bedroom when I let her go, just like the owner's dog used to do. So we knew that she had found the dog. But yes, malevolent spirits can definitely affect animals, especially animals, because they're much more sensitive.
Yeah. You know, that was always our question, too, when we were talking about our dog that passed. We were so confused of, could it have been our house? Like, we were told it was. We were told it wasn't. I mean, it's a hard thing to even think about. Like, you know, did you put, you know, you're putting your kids and your animals. But like you said, animals are very sensitive. And it's always been a question of mine.
Yes. So in my Pets in the Afterlife books, I also explain some of the science behind, first of all, how they can communicate, and secondly, about their emotions. So I cite Dr. Stanley Coren, who did extensive work with dogs. He focused on dogs instead of cats. But he explained in his books how dogs think and the intelligence of dogs, that they learn on so many levels. There's instinctual learning. There's routine. There is emotional learning. There's socialization. There's all kinds of different levels that they learn. They learn language. They learn time. You know, if you're ever late feeding your dog or cat, they kind of let you know it. They read emotions. They know when you're happy, when you're sad, when you're sick, they come and comfort you. When you're angry, they go in the other room. They know when you need to be alone. So they are super smart. And I think humans really undervalue that. One of the questions that I've always received whenever I do lectures about pets in the afterlife is, do animals have souls? And that question actually makes me really mad because it's kind of stupid, to be honest with you. A soul is memories, personality, and knowledge combined with energy. So every living thing has a soul. I always tell people that animals were here long before humans showed up. They figured out how to live and exist. They didn't need us when they were in the wild. You know, we came along and we domesticated these animals now, like dogs and cats and so forth. So one of the other studies that I cite in my book is Dr. Gregory Burns from Emory University in Atlanta. He's a neuroscientist, and he was fed up with hearing that same thing because he's a dog dad. So he trained his dogs and dogs from his lab to stay still for an MRI. Have you had an MRI, either of you?
Yes, I have.
You have. Yeah.
So you have to stay quite still for like 25 to 30 minutes, right?
Yes.
And it's not good
if you're claustrophobic, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's claustrophobic and there's a loud hum and they have to put earplugs in your ears and all that stuff. But he trained these dogs to sit still for MRIs so he could scan their brains and monitor the brain activity based on when their pet parent came to them versus complete strangers. And what he found is that the caudate area of their brain lit up, showing love exactly as a human's does when their pet parent approached them. So he scientifically proved that animals, dogs, have the same exact emotions that people have.
I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
Now, you said living thing has a soul.
Yes.
So, and this may sound stupid to you.
Oh, boy.
But I have to ask it. Did dinosaurs have souls?
Mm. Oh, absolutely.
Then how come we don't get apparitions and pictures in the physical world on these ghost hunts?
Well, because, okay, so there's a lot of factors there. Number one, it was millions and millions of years ago. Number two, anything outside is facing the energy barrage of weather. That tends to tear things down. That tends to dissipate energy. And animals generally cross over unless they have, you know, an agenda, or unless they're tied to somebody that they want to stay behind for. So I've only run into two or three ghost dogs and cats in my entire time doing my paranormal. It's very rare that an animal will stay behind. Yeah. And I also find, too, that whenever a ghost is haunting a place, they and the place gets torn down, they look for another place. They don't stay out in the open air often. Okay. You know, even soldiers on battlefields, though, you always see whatever intelligent haunts of soldiers in Civil War battlefields.
For the ones who get going when the going gets tough, and the ones who know we're tougher together. For the pathfinders breaking new ground, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as fast access to experts and 24/7 customer support. Because we know you have people depending on you, so you can always depend on us. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
They all come out of the woods all the time. They're not out there in the open.
Yeah.
So the reenactments of soldiers, like, you know, especially Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
We know there's another side. We know this side is love, light, peace, harmony. And I know that through investigations and communication with the other side. Right? Mm-hmm. So my question to you is then, why are some of the pictures, especially in Gettysburg, of some of these people that died in the war on that battlefield? Is it residual energy? Are we really not seeing them? Are we seeing the replacement energy of them through the conscious mind?
Because that wouldn't involve me actually investigating all of them, but I think that there are some intelligent haunts there and a lot of residual haunts. I look at residual haunts as really emotional thumbprints of energy generated by traumatic or happy experiences that only reappear whenever energy is introduced into the area. So our physical energies can help power them. Our emotional energies can help power them to reappear. You know, certainly at night, if you're driving through Gettysburg and you're nervous or anxious because you've heard that there are ghosts, that anxiousness, that nervousness is going to enable them, is going to power them, basically. It's going to give them emotional energy to power up, if you will, and show up. Intelligent haunts are different.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It's the emotions that we feel that empower the other side. I've definitely learned that. You know, the only thing different about that is, like, especially like in the atheist people, non-believers that we did have at our own home who didn't believe in this stuff, none of it. Mm-hmm. But yet, within an hour or two investigating, shadow people would appear. Yeah. Now, not full body apparitions. I'm not going to go and say that, but it's almost the outline and this misty dark form. And the communication through the paranormal equipment was so intelligent that someone could be on the property and other people could be in the basement, and they're, and the TV just went on by itself across from us.
Okay.
Yeah. And back off.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm not even joking about
that.
Wait,
I didn't see that. Thank goodness.
Yeah. All right. So then someone's listening to us. So, hi, how are you? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You really can't. So they're intelligent as if they're watching and listening, and they know what you're going to do before you do it.
Yep.
That's what we've gathered. Now, let's go back to the pets and what you do. Let's say you have two pets. Mm-hmm. One is crossed over and one has run away. Would the one that's crossed over help you find the one that's ran away?
That's a good question.
Yeah, sometimes they do. They are able to do that. They also, pets in spirit will also help lead the other pet back home. So, there was one instance where someone had contacted me, and they had a pet in spirit, and one of their other pets had passed, and they asked me where the pet was. So I connected to the pet on the other side, and I said, your dog, it was a dog. I said, your dog is in a grassy field behind a big stack of what looks like hay. I said, so do me a favor and send me a satellite picture, and I'm gonna pinpoint where your dog in spirit is showing me your other dog is. I've never done that before. So she did, and I was able to mark it using Photoshop, and I mailed it back. And she wrote me back 2-3 days later, and she said she found her dog right there in that grassy field behind the hay. And the dog had fallen in kind of a creek and couldn't get up.
Aww.
So, I mean, that blew my mind that, you know, there was a spirit helping.
And that's you know, it's good what you do, because you're helping people. Mm-hmm. You know, animals are, you know,
the best friends
of humans. Yes. So, Rob, here's another hard question for you. Look, every day.
Any easy ones?
Every day, there's missing children.
Ooh.
Yes. Okay?
And it's very unfortunate, and it's very, very sad.
Yeah.
So you just said that one pet has the ability to go through someone like yourself to find the other pet. Not all the time. You know, it's never an ace in the hole every single time.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's long shots too, but would that be the same thing for missing children?
It very well could be. I'm much more in tune with pets than I am with people.
Okay.
So mediums who specialize in with children may be able to help with that. I have interacted with human ghosts and spirits, but my love and what seems to be my mission is to help people who lost pets.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's your specialty. That's your forte. We have spoken to people, different mediums who, you know, I asked that. There's so many people like Natalie Holloway, people that have crossed over. They never found ever, and the parents want closure. And look, there's 100 different myths and opinions, but give me a fact. Right. Give me some facts here. Where's this poor girl? Where was she? Now, one of the logical things that I do believe and understand from the mediums that the spirit says is that they don't want to be found, because they're leaving them behind, because what they're seeing on the other side is they're part of everything and every one of us, that to them it doesn't really matter, even though we make it matter in the physical world when they're crossed over. Again, this could be very sentimental to a lot of people, but from what I'm gathering from these mediums and from investigations, they don't want to be found. They're saying, hey, we're okay. We love you. We see you. We hear you. We found the other side, but we don't want you to go there and try to find us, our bones, our remains. So, and I know that's not your specialty, but is your thoughts kind of the same?
Yeah, I do agree. You know, I know that people always want to get some kind of physical closure, but sometimes it's kind of a be careful what you ask for kind of deal. Because if you receive physical remains and they explain that, you know, somebody may have been tortured before they died, that's much worse than knowing that they had disappeared and they're likely dead. So, yeah, I totally agree that, you know, be careful what you ask for. What I would suggest for anybody who's lost a child or a human that's missing and has been missing for years, contact a medium and see if you can get a message that way to get your closure, rather than hunting for their remains, because it may bring you much more peace by communicating with them in spirit than trying to find physical remains.
I agree with you. And I'm also a big believer, because I've had these experiences through the dreams. The dream state is when the body's most relaxed and we're able to sometimes communicate with those that have crossed over. Mm-hmm. And that would be my suggestion, too.
Yeah.
You know, if people remember their dreams, some don't, but a lot of people do, that sometimes the spirit comes through because you're relaxed and they're saying, hey, here we are. We're fine. We're okay. But you're right, Rob. You're right what you're saying. I believe that the spirit sometimes, we want all the answers, right?
We do.
But then when I watch these near-death experiences and they're saying, no, it's not about that. It's not about what you want in a physical. We're part of everything.
Yeah.
You said, we're all energy. So then is it your belief that we never had a beginning and there's no end because we're energy?
I certainly believe in reincarnation. So I know we come back over and over and over again, and we're all connected one way or the other. If you take me back to the Big Bang, there was something there all along. So, But I want to get back to your note about dreams, because one of the things that I mentioned in my books is that dreams are the easiest way for spirits to communicate with people.
Yes.
And the reason for that is because during our waking hours, our logical mind always explains things away. We learn to explain that paranormal isn't feasible. It's not real. So we try to figure out how something happened. But because of that, when we go to sleep, our logical minds are asleep. So spirits can come into our dreams. And I always tell people to ask the spirit that they're trying to communicate with, before you go to bed, ask them to come into your dreams. And usually within 2 weeks' time, they will. Unless your grief is so strong that it blocks them. But spirits can also, and they have also, gone to somebody else. They'll go into somebody else's dreams. I've spoken to a woman who said her neighbor dreamed of her dog that passed. The dog mom didn't dream of the dog, but the neighbor did. And the dog mom said, well, why did you dream of my dog? And the neighbor was smart enough to say, your dog is trying to let you know that he's okay in spirit, but he can't come through to you. So...
That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
One of my favorite stories is a woman who contacted me, and she said she was so angry with her husband because her husband kept dreaming of their dog that passed, and she didn't. And every time her husband told her of a dream that he had of her dog, she would get mad and fight with him and say, why isn't the dog coming to me? And so the dog, you know, I had to contact the dog, and the poor dog says, mom is still really grieving. I have to go to dad. So that's why. And I don't want mom to fight with dad over my dreams.
I never thought about it like that. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And in fact, I do that sometimes. I'll think about the person before going to bed.
Yeah.
And then maybe, you know, again, it's one of those long shots, but I've had 3 or 4 occurrences where that person came through and they looked really good. and they're surrounded by this light, and they bring back memories, quick memories, but they bring it to the soul's heart, not the physical, but the soul's heart. You could feel the vibration from them. And you feel like, okay, this is validation. You've made it. It's good. You're fine. We'll meet again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I like him too. I like this guy.
He likes you.
Well, thank you. I like you too.
I have a question. Were all these amazing gifts that you have, were they passed down to you from like family members?
Yeah, I found out that my mother had the gift, but she was afraid of it. Because her mom, when her mom died, her mom came to her by calling her name. And my mother was so scared that the spirit would never come back. Or if you're scared when you first see them, the spirit usually doesn't come back. So my grandfather never came back to me because he scared the bejesus out of me when I was a kid. But my grandfather also had the ability, my mother told me. And one of my mother's cousins had the ability. Of course, I learned this like when I was 40, when I was writing my first book. And I'm like, Mom, why did you keep this for me? I've had this since I was 13. And it's kind of funny too that my mom said she was afraid to talk to people who passed on. But she would call me, I would call her every week, and she would say, "So what dead person did you talk to?" Well, why don't you talk to them?
Wow.
Hey, do pets and humans come back through the same soul groups to the physical world to go through this mission together?
Yeah, we do. So we do all come back connected again. So your dog in this life will come back to you in another life connected as another animal.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Very interesting.
That's my experience.
Huh.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing is I got to say this. I did want to, this is on these paranormal equipment, the spirit box and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So here's the funny. It's funny, but yet it's interesting. I never heard Ruff Ruff or Meow on a spirit box. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to ask Rob, did you ever hear that? Like a spirit, a pet coming through?
No, that's a good question. I have not heard that because what I've found is that many of the pets cross over. So spirit boxes we've used for ghosts. And there have never, there have been three different ghosts that I've encountered. So, but I will tell you that that a lot of pet parents I've spoken to have said that their dog or cat have either barked or meowed, and it always sounded like it came from another room. That's because it takes so much energy from the other side. So there are so many ways that pets communicate, and that's the reason actually I wrote the Pets in the Afterlife books, is to teach people what ways they can look for, so that they don't need a medium. They don't need to pay a medium. All they need to do is educate themselves in what to look for. Whether it's feeling a slight pressure against your legs when you're sleeping, cats like to do that. Mm-hmm. Hearing a bark or meow, always from another room. Hearing their nails on the floor, hearing a collar jingle, seeing something move, leading you to another pet that may look like them. That's another way that our pets will let us know that they're around. So that's just the tip of the iceberg about all the things that I wrote about. But there's many ways.
Let's get into these books.
Yeah, you know what? Thank you for writing these books.
Definitely. What
you said. You're trying to teach everybody, so they can learn all this on their own.
In fact, do you have any copies in front of you? You can hold up to the camera so our viewers can see it.
Sure. Actually, you can. You can see this is Pets in the Afterlife 1. Okay. That's my dog Buzz.
There you go.
And he had passed on. And over here is Pets in the Afterlife 2. It has a dog, a cat, a horse, two dogs. I do have Pets in the Afterlife 3 just came out. As I was finishing Pets in the Afterlife 3 last year, at the end of last year, we lost two of our dogs.
Yeah. Really?
Dolly and Franklin. They were both, one was just shy of 16, the other was 16. And this is them.
Aww.
I had them put on the cover on a rainbow bridge.
That's so funny.
It was very.
Oh, that's nice. Silver.
Yeah. So the pain is still, you know, the emptiness is still there.
Yeah.
We never get over the emptiness, but knowing they're here in spirit is really a blessing. And both of them, actually, when they passed, one passed in May, the other one passed in October. The week that they passed, each one of them, they gave us so many signs that they were here that they have their own chapters.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. So one thing that's interesting, I will highlight, if I can for a minute, is when people feel cold spots, there is a scientific explanation that I can give you for why you experience a cold spot whenever you're in the presence of a ghost or a spirit. Have you both experienced cold spots?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I figured you would because you're paranormal investigators. So what happens is, as I said, it's all about energy. So ghosts or spirits, in the case I'm talking about a spirit of a dog, they needed that energy. So in order to manifest, what they do is they take the energy of motion of molecules of air. They take that motion and they absorb it. And what that does is it slows down the motion of the molecules. So by slowing down the motion of molecules, you're turning warm air into colder air. And that's why you have a cold spot whenever you're in the presence of a ghost or a spirit.
Wow, that's fascinating.
That is crazy.
That's what happens when you talk to a geek, a scientist, right?
Wow. Now, is that the same rule when my kids are around that I feel like it's a cold spot?
I need you to do something like that.
And I want a warm spot, so I try to get rid of them.
There you go.
We have a lot of children.
Yeah. No, that's funny, but actually, everything you say makes sense. So, So let's, the people listen, you know, get the books. And what can people learn and take away from the third book?
So the third book is really all about dogs. So I've been doing readings now for a long time. And I actually just started charging $10 a reading because I'm overwhelmed. And I can only do them on weekends on free time.
That's like really cheap.
Well, thank you. Well, my books are only $10 too. And as a self-published author, I set that price because I want people to heal. I'm not out to become famous or make money. I just want to bring healing. That's what Buzz over here called me to do. Yeah. So, So I'm sorry. What was your question, Philip?
So what can they take away from the book after reading it, the third book?
Okay. So in the third book, there's also a chapter about how to deal with your grief. My friend, Dr. William Charmack, kindly wrote a short chapter. He's a clinical, a medical psychologist, and he deals with people who suffer from grief. So there's a special chapter in here about how you can cope with grief. Plus all the ways that you can recognize signs, whether they're cold spots or whether or not a spirit influences a something in nature, like a bird or a butterfly, to behave oddly when you're thinking of the pet that passed. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. There are movement of things. When Buzz passed, he actually picked up a sneaker and moved it in my hallway, and my roommate came out screaming because he saw the sneaker move across the hallway. So they can learn all kinds of things. In another particular case, a dog was very fond of flowers, roses, red flowers. And whenever the pet parent was thinking of them, they would see red flowers. So you learn that there's no such thing as a coincidence either when it comes to spirit, because spirit really influences us to go places at a certain time at a certain place so that we know they're around.
Right. Well, Rob, thank you so much. I mean, it has been a pleasure. We learned a lot. Right?
I'm blown away by the amount of knowledge you have. And, mm-hmm. Tell everybody out there that's listening, where people can find you, what you have going on, and where they can get these awesome books.
Well, thank you, Philip and Julie. I appreciate that. They can find me on Amazon.com. They can find me at PetSpirits.com. I created a rerouting of a website so that PetSpirits.com will take them to my page. All of my books are on Amazon. As I said, they're all under $10. The ebooks are under $4. So I just want to bring peace and healing to everybody. And just know that your pets are very much around in spirit, and the love will continue forever. They'll be waiting for you on the other side.
Well, thank you.
I definitely agree with that, Rob. You know, and it's interesting, right?
Yes.
It's definitely interesting. And like I said, that one thing I had with, you know, the dog that crossed over.
We do have to end the show.
That's fascinating. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And we'll definitely be in contact with you for a part two. But to the listener out there, give me the titles one more time, all three titles of these books.
Pets in the Afterlife, 1, 2, and 3.
Yep.
Really. Get those books. They will help you if you feel a loss, who doesn't have a pet. They'll help you. I believe everything he's saying through my own experience. And I could feel what the man is saying, you know, through validating just by being paranormal investigator.
Yes.
And it's true, it's real, and the dream state. But the books will help people open their minds.
Yes.
First you have to open the mind, right?
Yes.
And then receive it, and then understand it, digest it, and feel it.
Yes.
And that's exactly what he's saying in a nutshell. And get those books, people. Hey, thank you so much for coming on Horsefly Chronicles Radio.
Okay, and we also want to thank Carnation for sponsoring the show. And join us again next Monday night at 7 Central and 8 EST.
Yeah, tell listeners out there, be safe, everyone. Get the books. And remember what Rob said. You know, and it's my personal belief through the diligence of hard work that we do go on. The hardest and saddest thing is to lose a pet, a friend, a parent, anybody. But I can promise you, you know, that we do go on, and there's that communication. And like Rob said, we will meet them again
on the
other side.
Yep.
So everyone, have a great, safe night, and we'll catch you next week. And there's another show coming up.
Oh, Lorelei.
So stay tuned. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Rob. Have a good night.
Million miles from Earth exists a mini solar system of over 60 moons rotating around a powerful planet of gas. Its flowing colors and spots hold strange beauty, but contain violent storms and jet streams. Could this big, bright ball of weather have been the star of Bethlehem? Could one of its moons...
I got my daughter's hair looking tight. So we hopped in the car and went to Mickey D's to celebrate. I did my thing with these braids meal.
There's a meal for every moment on the McDonald's $1, $2, $3 menu.
Enjoy a tasty McChicken biscuit or chicken McGriddles. Get two of the same or one of each for just $3. Prices and participation may vary. Single item at regular price cannot be combined with combo meal.
Minute Maid slushies are back at McDonald's. And if you want to thank me for that info with the slushie, that's cool. It's more than a drink. It's a McDonald's drink.
Treat yourself to a refreshing Minute Maid slushie. A pink lemonade or strawberry watermelon. Goes great with a fresh beef quarter pounder with cheese or the new crispy chicken sandwich. At participating McDonald's for a limited time. Fresh beef available at most restaurants in contiguous U.S. Not available in Alaska, Hawaii, and U.S. territories.